Good morning. My name is Mark Dodge, and I will be reading scripture this morning. The first comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15, and the second from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land that you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And from the Gospel of Matthew, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it will not collapse, because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I was reading the newspaper the other day. Anyone still read the newspaper? Raise your hand. Yeah, we hear some brothers and sisters doing. I was reading the newspaper, the Wall Street Journal, and I noticed in there was an article about artificial intelligence and about how we are now using it to detect, through the use of artificial intelligence and through an algorithm, whether we are having a stroke or not by looking at our face. Yeah, Johns Hopkins is developing an algorithm and some software, and it says that the face is probably one of the most sophisticated signaling systems in the universe. They said that everybody's face is actually oscillating in color very imperceptibly, that can be detected with a camera. The FDNA has developed a software program that aims to use facial recognition to diagnose rare genetic conditions in young children. And apparently, this app takes pictures of your face and can detect whether you've got one of 1,500 genetic or diseases. So now, not only are we worried about the words that we say, not only are we worried about the words that we type, we're worried about what we do with our faces, right? So if you give me the stink eye, I know what kind of thing is going on. My name is Pastor Keith Harcombe, and I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we're in week two of Faith in the Digital Age. Last week, Pastor Kathy talked about how we need to refresh, just like our apps, just like all of our websites and things that we watch on our digital devices. Every now and then, we need a refresh. Amen? Next week, we're going to talk about some of the things that we follow, whether we choose to follow them ourselves or whether we're following them and we don't really know what we're following. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun next week. But this week, we're talking about how we build our house. How it is that we build our house. Now, 70 years ago, nobody wanted to build a house in Florida. Nobody cared about moving to Florida. In fact, people would send postcards and say, hey, bring your family down here and build a house. And the people up north would send a postcard back and say, why would I want to go down to that mosquito-infested, alligator-ridden state? Why would I want to go there? In fact, you couldn't even build a house around here. You're living on a swamp. Of course, now it's like $2,000 a month for a little bit of concrete. We've learned how to build homes in Florida, but we've got to be careful about where we build our homes. Some of you might have experienced the almighty sinkhole if you placed your house or your house was placed next to a place that was not on a firm foundation. Now, as you know, the scripture today is about building your house on the sand versus the rock. And I've got some pictures for us today about what that might look like. put some pictures here. Now, this is a strong house, but you can see the storm coming there. You can see that that house is probably, depending on its foundation, it's probably going to stick around when that storm goes by. I got another one for you here. Yeah, this one, of course, it's built on a strong foundation, but I don't know about you, but I don't want to live there, right? It's right next to the water, and something's going to happen. It's going to smash on the rocks. Next slide. I've got another place for you here. Don't want to live in that house. Not going to last much time, right? Clearly, this house is built on the sand. Yeah, the first wave that turns up there, it's going to be destroyed. I got a couple more for you here. Actually, this is a home that is built in Israel, a first century home. And you can see it's on the sand, but it's like in the bed of the sand, in the rock kind of thing. So it's kind of an interesting look at what an Israel home would look like back then. And then the final one here for you is, yeah, this house is built on a rock. Anyone want to live there? No, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. My father was a builder all his life. My father was a builder at the age of 14 back in 1945. He was an apprentice. And all of his life, for 50 years, he put brick on top of each other. He was a builder. He knew how to build things. And he grew up his whole life being taught how to put cement and mortar together in an efficient way to have a strong foundation. And his hands, when he come home, they were always rough and from building. And he would always tell me, you know, don't you get into this job. Don't you do this. He worked all week and pretended like we had money. And on the weekend, there was lots of things to build in my hometown around that time. It was after the Second World War, and there was just bricks everywhere, it seemed. And I thought that when you build things, you take the bricks that were there before and you just pick them up and stack them up like Lego, you know? You just stack them up. And at the weekend, my father would go to other sites. He would work in a regular job all week building. And then on the weekend, somebody would enroll him in some sort of job building something else on Saturday and Sunday. On the Saturdays, Grandma would take care of us, and she would take us for a field trip to these sites to visit my father where he would be building. I always remember Grandma's nice shoes getting dirty as we walked into the mud and the piles of debris that were around. Bricks everywhere, stone, bits of masonry, puddles of water everywhere, and a cement mixer in the corner going around. And every time I visited these sites, I noticed that nothing was building up. Nothing was going up from the ground. And after a while, I said to my father, and my father did not have many words to say, but after a while, I said to my father, Dad, why is it that nothing is getting built every time I go to visit you? Why do I see nothing getting built? And I'll never forget this. He said to me, they have to spend time building down first. They have to spend time on the foundation. What is your foundation? What is it that you build next to? What is it that you depend upon? Is your life dependent upon artificial intelligence? Do you depend upon this thing? Hey, I just pulled up here this morning and I got to 19 and Tampa, and the two people next to me missed the light because they were on this thing. I mean, that never happens to me. Artificial intelligence upgrades on the phone. Updates to 5G, updates for Wi-Fi dependability. It seems like we're depending on that for our foundation. The digital age is taking over. In fact, even one of our leaders right now is in the middle of the Atlantic watching my words as he's on a cruise. What is your foundation? What is it that your father said to you, or your mother said to you, or parental units passed on to you that is embedded deep in your heart that you know this is a solid foundation? Of course, Jesus spoke these words 2,000 years ago before we had any artificial intelligence. And we find them in our scripture that was read today by Mark, in Matthew's gospel, which is the first gospel. And I want you to open your Bible if you've got an old-fashioned one there. If you're online, just open up another tab. Look at it on your phone even. You got it there if you want to read it. But Matthew 7, you're going to see something different today, I promise you. Verse 24, we're going to go verse by verse. What did Jesus say? Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is like a wise person, is wise like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Now, this verse is a lot going on in this verse because he's at the end of the teaching on the Mount. The teachings of Jesus are coming to an end because in chapter 8, he's going to go on to do what he just preached. He's going to practice what he preached, or preach what he practices. And chapter 8 is all about the miracles and everything that he does from then on to show how the kingdom of God is coming in to the first century Israel. So what he's just done on the mount, the verses, chapters 5 through 7, are his teaching. And so he says, anyone who listens to my, these are really important two words here, anyone who listens to my teaching and anyone who follows it is wise. So these two words are really important. In the Greek, the Greek for listen is akoue. And akoue means a couple of things. It means that we are receiving news. We receive news, all sorts of different information. We're able to hear. We're able to hear what's going on, and we're able to obey. So that's listen, akoue. And the other word that he uses is to follow. And that word follow is to perform, to do something, to be about causing to do something. So anybody who listens and anyone who follows my teaching is like what? Is like a wise person. Is like a wise person who doesn't build their home next to a sinkhole, who doesn't build their home without spending time on foundation. He is a wise person. So what is that teaching? Of course, it's chapters 5 through 7, but we'll just stick with just chapter 7 today. Some of the things he says, just in 7, just flick back there if you've got it with you. He says, do not and do. The do nots are smaller than the do's. He says, do not, what? Judge others. Do not judge others. And then he says, don't waste what is holy. So don't profane God's name. If God's done something in your life, don't profane it. And then he goes on, do these things. Keep on asking Jesus. Keep on asking me. Keep on asking God for things. Keep on asking him about what you're unsure about. And then he says, you can enter the kingdom of God through the narrow gate. This is verse 13. Through the narrow gate. Enter the kingdom of God through that narrow gate. And then he says, beware. Beware of false prophets. And then he says, be cautious around those who are not true disciples. Don't spend your time and energy wasting on these. So these are just a couple. And around this, all this teaching is the great verse right in the middle, verse 12. And I'll read it for you. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the life of the law and the prophets. Of course, Jesus is extrapolating the whole Old Testament into this one verse right here. So that's Jesus' teaching. That's just chapter 7. Whoever listens to this, whoever hears it, whoever follows it, is like what? It's like a wise person who builds a house on a solid rock. Of course, Jesus is using this metaphor of a house, not just for building a piece of wood and a piece of concrete on another piece of wood or another piece of concrete. He's talking about our whole lives, everything that we are consisted of, which is a very complex system, according to Johns Hopkins. Yeah, we're talking about everything, everything, your mental health, those things that go around in your head, those words that go around your head, sometimes lies, sometimes truth. We're talking about the emotions that you feel. Oh, why am I having those emotions? We're talking about the relationships that you have with your family and friends, romance. We're talking about your physical life, what you do physically, what's going on in and amongst your health. And of course, your spiritual life. Yes, there's other things that you can follow and ascribe to for your spiritual life. But God is saying, Jesus is showing that actually the best option for your spiritual life is to listen and follow my teaching. Amen? Verse 25 says, though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. Notice that word there. In the New Living Translation, it says, though. In other translations, it says, and. And if the winds, the rains, and the hurricanes come, it does not say, they won't come to you if you follow me. It does not say, hey, keep following my ways and you won't have any winds. You won't have any storms. You won't have any hurricanes. It doesn't say that, does it? Jesus says, when these come, when the hurricanes come, when the rain comes, when the floodwaters rise up, and when the winds beat against the house, this house, it won't collapse because it is built upon bedrock. You spend time digging down. You spend time building a foundation. You've spent time reading the scriptures. You've spent time listening to those parents who also spent time building on the bedrock. But, there's always a but, isn't there? But, anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. So there's a major contrast here. If you obey it or if you don't obey it. There's major contrasting words in this whole scriptures for us to remember. I mean, even just in verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, if you judge other people, it's like looking at a speck in somebody else's eye when you've got a great big log, right? And he goes on to say that it's also like a father who doesn't give snakes to his child. He gives bread. Or notice that I want you to give things that are life-giving. He says, don't go through the wide gate, go through the narrow gate. He says, be careful of those who look like sheep but who are actually wolves. He says, be careful of the fruit that you see that might look like grapes but actually is thorns. And these contrasts, these severe contrasts that we have. He says, place your building on my teaching, which is solid ground. That's what the wise person does. Yeah, you know, we're going to have troubles and storms. There's going to be major problems in your life. There's going to be all sorts of things that go on. You might lose the Wi-Fi for 5 minutes. You might need to refresh your phone occasionally. Oh no, what a nightmare. Ah, I lost my phone. What am I going to do? You might lose electricity. You might all of a sudden have to think about calling somebody physically on the phone instead of texting them. And even when all of our digital age breaks down, the lights go out, the cameras go out, mic doesn't work, even when that all goes away, even if we don't have 5G, we don't have 6G, even if we don't get the new upgraded phone, my teaching is a strong foundation. Sure, you might lose some of your technology. Sure, the winds might come. Something might go crazy in your household. You might have a mental health episode. Your emotions might be going all around. You can't understand them. Your relationships that you have with people might be just be fractured, and it feels like you can't find a friend anywhere. Your physical life, your health, what are you doing with your body? You might have to check that occasionally. Your spiritual life, you might be wandering around grasping at things that sound better than Jesus' teaching. And there's other stuff out there you can grasp onto. But when those things come, when the storms come, when the problems come, Jesus says, when a person who builds a house on this is anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on a sand, who builds their house next to a sinkhole, who builds their house without spending time digging down deep on the foundation, who builds their house not consulting parents, not consulting wise voices. And when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. People are amazed. Jesus has finished saying these things. The crowds are amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Basically, the people saw that what Jesus practiced, he also preached. Or what he actually preached, he practiced. And that had authority. That showed that he wanted us to actually build our house on a land of his teaching. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, we have a foundational text for the people of Israel. Joshua had just taken over from the great leader Moses. He's led his people right through Israel, right through the desert. And when he got to the place of Mount Ebal and Gerizim, he gathered the people together and says, yeah, I know you've been with Moses for a while. I know that things have been kind of crazy, but I want you to refresh yourself. I want you to get to a place where you can actually start following God again. So they're standing on Ebal and Gerizim, and he's standing in the middle, and he says this in this natural amphitheater. He says, Israel, if you refuse to sit, this is the guy who's just taken over from Moses. This is Joshua, who's just taken over. He says, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today in whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? For us, the gods are like these things, right? Our digital stuff, our things that other people say, or I don't know, anything on social media these days that we think it might be helpful. Will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? And then he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a choice. It's a choice for us to serve the Lord. It's a choice for us to follow the teachings of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. It's a choice for you daily to step out. It's a choice for you to go online in the middle of the Atlantic and watch Facebook and watch our services to listen to the message. That takes a lot of choosing. It's a choice for us to follow Jesus. The challenge for you this week, it's pretty simple. In Matthew chapter 7, not 5 through 7, just chapter 7, there are seven sections to read about Jesus' teaching. You might have to read them twice. But I want you to go to Matthew chapter 7 once every day and read each section. We'll post it on Facebook, but go through each section and say, do I know this teaching? Do I practice this teaching that's found in Matthew 7 that Jesus said to his disciples? And then after you've said that, sing this song with me. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Are you singing? And the rain came tumbling down. Rain came down and the floods came up. Rain came down and the floods came up. Rain came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the foolish man built his house upon the. And the rain came tumbling down. The rain came down and the flood came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. And a house on the rock fell. Sand. It's a choice. Every day that we choose to follow Jesus' teaching. It's solid ground. Amen? And when you've read Matthew 7, I want you to say to yourself and say to God, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's say it again. As for me and my house, I can't hear you. As for me and my house, expand your diaphragm. Stand up. Stand up and say this to me. As for me and my house, I still can't hear you. Pretend you're on Mount Ebal or Mount Gerizim. As for me and my house, amen.